Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to read one verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. If you're able to, be upstanding. When you've found your place in Romans chapter 12, we'll just read one verse and we'll go from there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Tonight we're going to be looking at reasonable surrender. Just want to look at three different things. You could probably think of a whole lot of different things from this one verse, but just three things that I've been pondering on for the last few weeks. Surrender's been something that the Lord's been working in my heart big, a lot in this last probably 4 or 5 weeks. And three things to look at: the crisis and the cost, and there's a choice. But we want to look at them in just a slightly different light, especially the cost. We'll get to that later on. You see, when the Apostle Paul says here, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This word beseech has this idea of to ask someone urgently to do something, to implore or to entreat. He's beseeching these brethren. And what's he beseeching them? Notice how he's talking to the brethren. Okay, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. By the mercies of God. You know, the reason I believe why Paul was exhorting the brethren to give their full lives, their lives in full surrender, was because of God's great mercy towards us as guilty sinners. By the mercies of God. Because we deserve hell, but in his mercy he made a way of escape. He made a way of escape. It's God's mercy. And Paul's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Present your bodies seems really simply means that, just to freely give our bodies. But the word present also means to present once and for all. It is a definite commitment. It's a definite commitment. And not only are to present our bodies, but to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You think about a living sacrifice, when you think about a living sacrifice, my mind goes to Isaac on the altar. He was a living sacrifice. He didn't actually die, but he was quite conscious of the fact that he had to get on the altar. He made a choice. He had to get on the altar. He was a living sacrifice. But the living sacrifice that should come to mind more than any is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a living sacrifice. He died, but now he lives. He lives. God's requirements for surrender is, you see, holy, acceptable unto God. It must be a complete, wholehearted surrender. Yes. Not half-hearted. Because God is holy. We've heard it before, 99%. He doesn't want 99%. He wants 100%. Or he doesn't have anything at all. 100%. Holy and acceptable unto God. God only accepts 100%. 100% surrender. Otherwise, it's not surrender at all. If you're holding back, it's not 100%. And it's our reasonable service. It's only fair and reasonable. It's only fair and reasonable that we sacrifice our lives, that we surrender our lives in the light of what God has done for us in salvation. You think about it. It's only fair. And it's only a reasonable service. We're not going over and above. We're not going beyond our duties. It's only fair and it's only reasonable. I just want to look quickly, the first part, I beseech you. There's a crisis, and firstly, there's a crisis for unbelievers. The crisis for an unbeliever is that they are facing a certain day of judgment, and without Christ, they're condemned. For an unbeliever, without Christ, they're condemned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But did you know this? God doesn't want you to perish in hell. If you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, you're facing a serious crisis. You're facing judgment one day. You're condemned already. We heard a wonderful gospel message this morning. Absolutely wonderful. And that Jesus saves. 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to perish and die and go to hell. And that's a crisis that an unsaved person is facing. They're facing judgment one day without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fearful day. That's a fearful thing. That is a very fearful thing. But this is the thing for us believers: if you're born again and you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you're part of this brethren, beseech you therefore, brethren, well then, we are also facing a judgment day. It's the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." But note this, we're not going to be judged according to our sin. That was taken care of at Calvary. Our sin's already being taken care of. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it. That's the mercies of God. The mercies of God. Through Jesus Christ, he's forgiven our sins. Everyone, past, present, future, forgiven. Forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? But we will be judged according to our works for rewards. We'll give account for the way that we've lived after we've been bought with a price. Brethren, we've been bought with a price. Our life isn't our own. We don't have control of ourselves, or we ought not to try and exercise control over ourselves. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased from the slave market of sin. We've been purchased. And what was that purchase price? We heard it this morning. That precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood that was shed on the cross. If you just think about that for a moment. Come on. Will we stand ashamed one day? In that day of judgment? Will we stand ashamed before our Lord who saved us, who came and died to save us from our sins, to save us to a new life in Christ? To save us so that we could be new creatures, a new creation for His glory? Or can you say like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith." He fought a good fight. Why? Why? He saw the mercies of God. He saw the mercies of God. He saw God's love for him. That's why he's beseeching these brethren. Brethren, by the mercies of God, please consider. Consider where you stand in your walk with God even right now. Where your walk with God is right now is very, very important. Oh, it's okay, don't worry, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven. Doesn't matter. It's all good. You're saved, yes. Praise God for that. But what does the Scripture say? What does God want for your life? Brethren, if you've been saved, you're bought with a price. You don't own yourself, so don't act like it. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." None of these things move me. All these concerns about persecution, none of these things move me. Why? I don't count my life dear unto myself. He realized he'd already been bought with a price. His life was not his own. His life was not his own. Why? So that I might finish my course with, what's that word? Joy. Don't you want to finish your course with joy? I do. The Lord's really been stirring my heart with this aspect of surrender. In light of what the Lord's done for me, you think about it. I want to finish my course with joy. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Not be ashamed before him at his coming. Warren Wiersbe says this, "You abide in Christ by believing the truth, obeying the truth, and loving other Christians. Obedience, love, truth. If you are a believer and find yourself out of fellowship with God, it is because you have disobeyed his word, lack love for a brother, or believed a lie. So true, isn't it? Believing the truth, obeying the truth. And you can't help but love other believers. When you're walking with the Lord, you can't help it. Obedience, love, and truth. That's how you abide. And now, little children, abide in Him. Why? When He shall appear, what's that word we may have? Confidence. Confidence. Not because of us, but because of what He's done and what He's doing through us. We can have confidence. Confidence because of what the Word of God says, not because of what I think, not because of what someone says, but what the Word of God says. We can have confidence. God has shown us how to live lives that please Him. Has He not? Has He not? He's shown us how to live lives that please Him. So if we don't live that, how can we think we're going to stand there in confidence one day? We can't if we're not obeying the Word of God, obeying the truth, believing the truth. Brethren, I beseech you, please consider where you stand in your walk with God even tonight. Where's your walk with the Lord? You will stand before God one day. You will. And you'll give account. You'll give account. Are you going to stand before God ashamed? Or will you stand before God in confidence, knowing that you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've done everything I can by the grace of God to please Him because I love Him." Why? Because He first loved me. By the mercies of God. I beseech you, brethren. I want to look at the cost, which is your reasonable service. There's a cost. But I want to look at the cost if you don't surrender. Not the cost of surrender, but the cost if you don't surrender. There's a big cost. There's a lot you have to sacrifice if you don't surrender. If you don't present your body a living sacrifice, there's a cost. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession." And what's those two words? "And kept back." Kept back part of the price. "His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." This was not wholehearted surrender in their hearts, my friends. If they were fully surrendered to God and God had shown them to give every cent, they would have given it. But you see here, deceit, lying to the Holy Ghost. And what happened? They died. They died. They didn't just lose fellowship with the Lord. They lost their life. Why? Because they weren't completely willing. I don't know their whole motive in their heart. We don't see the whole motive in their heart. But we can see by their actions that they were not completely surrendered to God. Because if you're completely surrendered to God, you will not try and deceive. You won't do it. Why? Because you're surrendered to God's will. It doesn't matter what people think. If that's all God wanted to give, doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter if Barnabas gave everything. This is what God wanted me to give. You have confidence in the Lord because you're walking with God because you're surrendered to His will. Confidence. You see in verse 3, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" It wasn't wholehearted surrender. That was deceit. That was deceit. Trying to get people to think that they were giving everything. Please, don't try and deceive. If you're walking with God, you don't need to try and deceive. You can have confidence with where you're at with the Lord, knowing that God showed you to give this much or give that much. That's what they could have had. They could have had the confidence because they were surrendered to God's will. But their actions show that they weren't. The actions show that they weren't. If your actions don't match up with your words, something's wrong. Think of Nadab and Abihu. God had a certain way He wanted to have incense brought. Okay? They brought strange fire. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it our way. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. If you're fully surrendered to God, it doesn't matter what God's way is. You'll do it. You'll do it. Because you're just surrendered to God. You're surrendered to God. But what happened? They took strange fire. And what happened to them? They died. They died. Think about Achan. What were they told to do when they took Jericho? Don't take anything. It's the Lord's. But this looks nice, and that looks nice, and I'm going to take that, I'm going to hide it. Come on, please. Please don't. Don't try and walk outside of God's will. Don't try and walk out of what God said because it looks good, feels good, tastes good, smells good, whatever it is. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. That is spiritual suicide. There goes your walk with God. Goodbye. That's not being fully surrendered at that present point in time of your life. You just, I want to do what I want to do. Look at some things that you won't have if you're not surrendered. James 4:4. One thing you won't have is a close walk with God. If you're not surrendered, you will not have a close walk with God. Can't happen. Impossible. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Unless you're fully surrendered to God, His will and His ways, you will not have a close walk with Him. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is the friend of the world is what? The enemy of God." You serious? Come on, but I just like to dabble in this little bit of fun. Enemy of God. No walk with God. No walk with God. That's what you'll lose. You don't have a walk with God if you're not surrendered to God, His will and His way. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 6:17? It says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Isn't that wonderful? Come out from among them, saith the Lord. That's the Lord, not just any man. It's God Almighty. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will receive you. Isn't that wonderful? Come out from among them. Don't be in the world and of the world. You can be in the world, but not of the world. We're told to be in the world, but not of the world. Not part of this world's philosophies, this world's ways, this world's ideologies. No. What Hollywood teaches is a lie. That is a lie. That's the world. That is the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate. But isn't that wonderful, that last part of that verse? And I will receive you. I will receive you. You'll have a sweet walk with God. Surrendered to His will and to His way. Another thing you're going to lose if you haven't surrendered to God is power in prayer. John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." But notice there's a prerequisite. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That comes before answered prayer. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." If you're not surrendered to God, And you're like, why am I? God doesn't hear my prayer. God doesn't hear my prayer. You need to surrender to God first. Surrender your will, surrender your ways, surrender your ambitions, your goals, whatever it may be. Because that is hindering your prayer life. That's hindering you. If you've got something that's above God, automatically hindered. That's an idol. Anything that's above God is an idol. Just because it doesn't have a carved shape doesn't mean it's not an idol. If it's above God, it's an idol. And God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." None. Nothing. Abide in me. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Isn't that wonderful? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Confidence in prayer. Because you know that you're close with the Lord. Now, not every time you pray something, it might be answered exactly how you thought. It'll be answered better because God's ways are always best. Isn't that not true? God's ways and His thoughts are far above our thoughts. Way far above. Please, consider where you stand in your relationship with God this night. Consider it. If you're not surrendered to God, you're going to miss out on God's perfect will for your life. It says in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Not permissive will, perfect will. And if you're not wholly surrendered, and if you're not completely on that altar like Isaac was, you're going to miss God's perfect will. You're going to miss it. God doesn't want you to miss His perfect will, but it is a choice that you have to make. You have to make a choice. "Lord, I surrender all. I'm done. I've got nothing to offer God. God doesn't need me." He doesn't. But He wants to use you. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that. An almighty God wants to use a speck like me? Come on. Please. Please. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable." Perfect will. Don't settle for second best. Strive for God's best. Strive for God's best. And you can only have God's best by being completely, fully surrendered. You can't have God's best any other way, my friend. You can't have it. You may want it, but you won't get it unless you're completely surrendered. You won't get it. You might think, "That's what I want. I really want it." But really in your heart, if your actions don't match it, you're really saying, "Oh, but I want this too." Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. If you're not surrendered, you won't hear one day, "Well done, our good and faithful servant." You won't hear it. If you're not completely, totally surrendered to God, you won't hear it. The Lord's been showing me this lately. If I'm not completely, totally surrendered to God in every aspect of my life, I'm not going to stand before God one day and hear, "Well done." It's not going to happen. That's what I want. But see, isn't it amazing how God gives us a choice? He gives us a choice. We can hear that. We can. We can hear, "Well done, brethren." We can actually hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it's a choice you have to make. I'm going to surrender my whole heart to God, no matter the cost. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter how I even feel. Do it. Because you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," as you walk a surrendered life, living for God. That's what He wants. That's what brings glory to God. For His pleasure we are and were created. Why are we even here? What's the purpose of us even meeting? So we can grow in grace and knowledge, that we can glorify God, that souls can be saved. But it all boils down to so God can be glorified, because He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. Matthew 25:21 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If you're completely surrendered to God, you're going to be faithful no matter how big or how small the task God gives you. You'll be faithful because you want to please Him. You want to hear, "Well done." So it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter if it's a small menial task that you might think, "Oh, no one even sees it anyway." Good, that's fine. If God wants you to do it, be faithful. Be faithful because you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's better to hear, "Well done, our good and faithful servant," from our God than from someone on this earth. Yes. Much better. Another thing we'll lose if we're not surrendered to God wholeheartedly is our fellowship with believers. And when I mean fellowship, I mean true Christ-centered fellowship. Christ-centered fellowship. Not talking about football fellowship. That's not fellowship. Let's get it straight. That's not fellowship. Talking about God and His Word is fellowship. Amen. And if you're not surrendered to God, you won't want to fellowship. You won't want to. Because you're not surrendered to God, and it's just, oh, you're awkward and you don't want to, get out of there. I want to talk about something else, because it's convicting, isn't it? It's confronting. When people talk about the Lord, when people want to talk about the Lord, you're going to lose that fellowship with God. believers that have that one mind, that one goal, that one focus to serve Christ, you won't have fellowship if you're not surrendered. Not true fellowship. Not true fellowship. Because fellowship is centered around the gospel. And if you're not surrendered to God, what's the gospel to you? It doesn't mean what it should. Because when you see God for who He is and you're surrendered to Him, you know what the gospel is. It's what saved you. That's what saved you. That's what you want to talk about because it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. I'll tell you what, that message this morning, I was excited. It stirs your heart when you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sin. He died for us. He bore our sin that we could be redeemed. 1 John 1, 6-7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Walking in the light. You're going to have to be fully surrendered to walk in the light. In the light that God gives you. How can you know what God, the light God gives you and the light of the Scriptures if you're not surrendered to it? You can't have fellowship. You can't do it. But if you walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you're surrendered to God and His ways and His will, you're going to have fellowship with like-minded believers. And isn't fellowship sweet? Isn't it encouraging? Doesn't it stir you up to keep going more when you talk about the Lord? You talk about the Bible? It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And I want to look at the choice you have to make. The choice you have to make, brethren, it's only reasonable. Amen. It's only reasonable. Choice you have to make that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It doesn't say that He presents your body a living sacrifice. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, Jesus Christ, He gave up heaven's glory so that we could have a way to be forgiven. Just think about that for a moment. He gave up heaven's glory so that we could be a new creature, that we could be a child of God. He gave up heaven's glory. He gives you a choice. And it's only a reasonable service. It's only fair and reasonable. Don't forget, you've been bought with a price. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at the Lord Jesus Christ here in Chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We've been exhorted to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I exhort you, brethren, let this mind be in you. Humble yourself and become obedient. Become obedient. Be obedient. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our example, He was obedient even to the death of the cross. To the death of the cross. He humbled himself, came from heaven's glory to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven to live lives to glorify him. Not so that we could be forgiven and to live lives that please ourselves. It's not how it works. You will stand ashamed one day if you live like that. That's what will happen. Think about Moses. He made a choice, didn't he? Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. I want you to notice that word choosing. It's a choice you're going to have to make. If you haven't made this choice, you have to make it. Choice you need to make. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For a season, it's pleasurable, but for a season. It only lasts for a season. Sin only lasts for a season. The pleasures last for a season and then destruction comes. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's what happens. Brethren, please, choose. Choose, like Moses said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I believe Joshua said that. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord, not our own flesh. We'll serve the Lord, surrendered wholeheartedly. Why? It's only reasonable. It's only reasonable. It's only fair. You think about Moses and the decision he had to make. He chose affliction with the people of God over being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about the position he would have had in Egypt. Talk about having it all. He would have had everything he needed, everything he could ever desire, but he knew it lasted for only a season. That's why he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He had recompense unto the reward. He saw the reward one day. And my friend, if you look at things in light of eternity, it'll change. It'll change. Look at things in light of eternity. Not in what you think now, not in how you feel now. Because if you just follow your feelings or follow your heart like they tell you to say, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to a mess. That's what will happen. The world tells you, follow your heart, follow your heart. Your heart's wicked, deceitful. Don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. Follow God's way. Follow God's way. You see that word choosing. You think, surrendering to God comes by choice. Doesn't just happen. Well, I must be surrendered to God today. God just made me surrendered. No. You need to choose. You need to choose who you're going to serve. You need to choose. It's a personal choice that you need to make. Choosing to live for God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Not 99.9%, 100%. You need to choose, and it's a choice that every believer must make personally. I can't make it for my wife. I can't make it for any of my friends. I can't make it for anyone, but I can make a choice for myself. Lord, I'm surrendered. I'm surrendered, my whole will. All I have, all I am, all I ever will be, Lord, it's yours anyway. I don't need what I want. I want what God wants. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways far above. I said above our ways. They're above. We think that we have the best idea. So let's just follow our best idea. No, follow God's way and God will bless you. And you'll see God's best. And God's best makes your best look like nothing. Like nothing. It'll be different to what you may think. If you're not surrendered to God and you think, this is what's best for my life, I want to do this, I want to follow that, this is my dream, this is my ambition, this is my desire, it's going to be rubble and ruin on the day of judgment. When you stand before Christ one day, it's going to be rubble. But if you say, Lord, I only want what you want. I only want to do what you want to do. I only want to follow your word. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Romans 6, 12 and 13 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Notice those words, yield. Again, a personal choice. You've got to make a choice whether you're going to yield to God or not. Isn't that wonderful that God gave you a choice in salvation? And He gives you a choice whether you want to live for Him or not. God doesn't force anything upon us, but if you say, I love the Lord, then you'll be surrendered to Him. Because if you really love the Lord, you just want what God wants. You're going to be fully surrendered wholeheartedly to what He wants for your life. Surrender is a choice. It's a choice, and it's our heart saying, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I don't want what I want. It's just misery. It doesn't lead to anything that fulfills, except the only thing that fulfills is that sweet walk with God when you're surrendered to Him. It's the only thing that fulfills. You might try and busy yourself. You might try and get all these schedules happening so you don't think about it. It's not going to fulfill. What the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. I die daily. You've got to choose. Again, in Philippians 3, verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and who count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Is that your attitude toward the things of this world? You think about the Apostle Paul. He was quite a successful man, as it were. You look through his criteria of what he went through and you think, man, this guy had it made. In the world's eyes, he counted all but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Let's turn to James. James chapter 4. It says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Brethren, if you're unsurrendered to God, and if you're not willing to do what God wants you to do, humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord, please. He'll lift you up. Don't try and lift yourself up. He'll lift you up. But humble yourself. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that wonderful? You think about it. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. God? He's going to draw nigh to me? I'm just a human. He's God. He wants to draw nigh to you. That sweet fellowship, that relationship with our Father in heaven, that only comes with absolute, complete surrender. You can't have it otherwise. You may want it, but you won't have it unless you're surrendered. That's the bottom line. You can't have it. Just because you want it doesn't mean you'll have it. You can want something all you want. It's not going to help you unless you put actions to that and say, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I just want what you want. I don't care what it costs me outwardly, what it costs me physically, but I know spiritually I'll gain everything. Spiritually. You'll gain everything. You'll gain that walk with God, being surrendered to His will, Him guiding you, Him leading you through the Spirit, through the Word, through the preaching. He'll do it. But only if you're surrendered. Only if you're surrendered. It's your choice. It's a choice. Don't say no to the Lord. For what? What are you going to say no to the Lord for? He saved you so that you can glorify Him. No, Lord, I want to do my own thing. Please, consider. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, or because of this, glorify God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brethren, speaking to those that are saved, you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. They're God's. You've been purchased from the slave market of sin. You were on your way to a devil's hell and he saved you. It's only fair and reasonable that you live for him. It's only fair and reasonable. It's your reasonable service. It's what's expected. God expects you to be fully surrendered. That's what God expects. It's reasonable. It's your reasonable service to present your bodies a living sacrifice, dead to myself. dead to my ambitions, dead to my desires, but alive in Christ. Alive. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is a passage we're going to get to know very, very well this year. And it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Brethren, can't you see the love of Christ? Doesn't that constrain you to live for him? It's only your reasonable service. By the mercies of God, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, the love of Christ, that ought to be enough for us to say, "Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I'm completely finished with my ambitions. I'm completely finished with my desires. I just want what you want, Lord. That's all I want." It's only fair and reasonable, brethren. If you don't have a close walk with the Lord, please, whatever you do, don't put off. Don't put off surrendering your heart wholly, completely to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm laying all on the altar. That's where it stays. I'm done, Lord. I've got nothing. It's going to lead to destruction. I know that." Our heart might try and deceive us into thinking that our way is not too bad. And our way is, you know, it's pretty well balanced. If it's not God's way, it's out of balance. It's only your way if it's not God's way. You can't have your way and God's way intertwined unless you're fully surrendered to God. See, because then you want what God wants. Because God gives you the grace and the desires in your heart to please him. He gives you the strength to please him as you're surrendered to him. How's God going to give you the victory over sin if you don't even want it? You don't even want to serve God. You don't want to please God. "Oh, but God, I want victory over this sin." Hang on a second. Why? Because it makes me feel guilty. Or because of this. Please, surrender your whole heart to God and say, "Lord, not just this area, not just this other little area. I want my whole life on that altar tonight. Finished, done, dusted with this world. I'm done." If you've been wandering in that wilderness of sin, brethren, repent. Get back to that first love. Surrender all your will to God. Surrender all your ways. Remember, there's a crisis you face. It's the judgment to come. Not for your sin, but how you've lived this life. Was it pleasing to God or not? Will you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Is that what I'm going to hear when I stand before my Savior one day? Will I hear, "Well done"? Our heart's desire should be, "Lord, I want to hear, 'Well done.'" Or will that not be enough for us to say, "I don't care about anything else. Doesn't matter what, maybe 80 years on this earth, up against eternity?" Come on. It's pretty simple logic when you think about it. In maths, like it fairly outweighs it, doesn't it? It's only fair and reasonable, brethren, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. There's a cost to count. There's a cost if you don't surrender. There's a cost if you don't. If you're not surrendered to God, there's a big cost. We went through that list of things. You're going to lose a lot of things if you're not surrendered to God. Or you might have a little bit of pleasure for a season. For a season, that's all it's going to be. If you're not surrendered to God, just that little season, it's not worth it. Destruction is what happens when you try and dabble in this pleasure of the world. Doesn't work. Friends, brethren, this life's not a game. It's not a game. The Lord is returning soon. Very soon. Death approaches very soon. We don't have long to live for Jesus. But from tonight you can. But from tonight you can say, "Lord, I'm completely surrendered to your will, your way. Doesn't matter. I don't care about what I want anymore. I want what you want." Because it's only fair, it's only reasonable that I give my life a living sacrifice. holy and acceptable unto God. What's acceptable? God only accepts 100% surrender, not 90%, 99%, because that's 100% disobedience. 99% is only 100% disobedience. 100% surrender your whole life. You say, Lord, I'm done. I'm dusted with everything. I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. That's 100%. God's well pleased. That's holy and acceptable unto God. Not acceptable unto anyone else. Doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. Because you will stand before God one day. You won't stand before anyone else. Consider what the scriptures say. What does God want for your life? And obey. It's a choice you must make. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Just in closing, I want to read this poem. You've heard it before. It says, it will not make much difference, friend, 100 years from now, if you live in a stately mansion or on a river scour, if the clothes you wear are tailor-made or pieced together somehow, if you eat big steaks or beans and cake, 100 years from now, it won't matter your bank account or the car you drive. For the grave will claim all your riches and the fame and the things for which you strive. There's a deadline that we all must meet and no one will be late. It won't matter then all the places you've been. Each one will keep that date. We will only have in eternity what we gave away on earth. When we go to the grave, we can only save the things of eternal worth. What matters, friend, the earthly gain for which some men always bow? For your destiny will be sealed, you see, 100 years from now. You think about it in the light of eternity. Just 100 years from now, you're going to have a different perspective if you're not surrendered. Very different perspective 100 years from now. But did you know that you can have the heavenly perspective now? Surrender your will and your ways to God, brethren. I beseech you, please, it's only fair and reasonable. It's only fair and reasonable. Let's pray.